Father, I just pray that you would be with us tonight, and I pray that you would use your word to conform us to the image of Christ, and I pray that you would be able to speak through me the things that you want these girls to hear, and I pray that you would bless us with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. I feel highly unqualified to be speaking. But I will try to teach what God has been teaching me. So we'll start in Ephesians 4. At verse 29, says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So in the middle of this little passage we have these words, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." We might ask, well, how can we do that? How could we grieve His Spirit, and what does it mean? I can't answer the question yet, but in 1 Thessalonians 5, starting at verse 16, it says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good." So this is just a little, he's just telling us, do this and do this and do this. And one of those things is, don't quench the Spirit. Now, we've all been told that when we're born again, the Spirit of God comes to dwell inside of us. He lives in our hearts. And we've heard it from the time we were little, most of us, so we maybe don't even think what it actually means, but it's actually quite startling that God Himself would make Himself low enough to dwell with us. And He is, we know God is perfect in every way. He's completely sinless. He's never thought anything wrong. He's never desired anything wrong. He can't desire anything wrong. And yet, He has come to live with us, and it seems like all we do is wrong. And He's with us every second of the day. It's not like, but He's on the inside. He's not just, it's not just like being with a friend. He's like on the inside so that He can see everything that we're thinking. He can see everything that we're feeling. He knows everything that we're doing, even when nobody else does. Now, that's just the foundation. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in us if we have been born again. But now we're going to take a little bit of a turn and talk about us. Like, we have problems. I mean, all of us do. Things go wrong, things that we weren't expecting. We end up in big messes and we have no idea how to get ourselves out of them. And we're powerless to help ourselves. And sometimes we find ourselves crying out to God and we're like, help me fix this problem. Get me out of this mess. And sometimes it seems like He's just not listening. And we turn to all the great promises that we have in the Bible, and we get confused. We're like, why is God not answering me? Like, why are these promises here, but they don't seem true? But did you ever notice that the promises of God come with a condition? God says, if you do this, I will do this. But do we know what the conditions are, and have we been doing our part of the bargain? So we're going to look at some of these promises and the conditions. in Psalm 37 is going to be the first one. We'll start in verse 3. It says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Now these are just awesome verses. But you notice that every one of them has a condition. Trust in the Lord and do good. And if you trust in the Lord and do good, you will dwell in the land and be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now that's a big one that people are like, you know, why? You know, that's a wonderful verse. We all love it. But sometimes it doesn't seem true. But there's the condition on our part, do we actually make him our delight? And if we're not making him our delight, then he is not obligated to fulfill his half of the verse. Then the next one is, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now when you commit something to the Lord, that is like trust. If you had, say you had a favorite pet, and you were going to go out of town, but you couldn't take it with you, you would find somebody that you trusted to take care of it, and you would leave it in their care. I think that's what it's saying here. The things, commit thy way, so it's basically saying commit your life to the Lord, and he will bring to pass the things that you desire. In James 4, verse 8, it says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." Now, especially during hard times, we want God close. We want to feel his presence. We want to know that he understands. We want to know that he's taking care of us. So we want him to be near us. But have we actually drawn near to him? And if we haven't, then he's not obligated to draw near to us. In Zechariah 1:3 it says, "Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts." So we can't expect God to do his part of the bargain if we aren't going to do ours. And then in 1 John, starting reading verse 21 and 22. "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Now, this is amazing. It says, "Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him." Now, we all like that. But it starts out with, if your heart does not condemn you. So if your heart condemns you, you know you have sin inside that is not pleasing to God. And therefore you cannot come to him in confidence and ask for the things you want because your heart is condemned. So that's the first thing. You can't feel condemned in your heart because you know you have wrong things there. But the second half is, we know we receive the things that we ask because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, are we really doing the things that please God, or do we not even know what pleases him? Have we even given it a thought? Or are we just doing the things that we want to do, the things that we think are good, the things that we want our life to be made up of, and yet we still want God to answer our prayers? In In 1 Samuel 2:30 it says, "Them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Now that doesn't mean you necessarily have to have feelings of hatred towards God, that word despise. But if you just don't obey him, if you don't give him the place that he deserves, that would be despising him. But he says, if you honor him, that is, if you give him all that he asked of you and do the things that please him, he will honor you. But if you don't really give a hoot about what he says, you will be lightly esteemed. We'll go back to Psalm 145. And start reading in verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. Now, it first says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. That means out of a sincere heart. And he will fulfill the desires of those that fear him, and he will hear your cry, and he will save you. And he will preserve all that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Says, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. So if you're trying to hold on to things that you know are not pleasing to God, you cannot expect God to be listening to you. Your iniquities have separated. They've put up a barrier between you and God. He can't hear you. It's not that he can't help you. He certainly can. But sin will separate us from God. And perhaps the Holy Spirit has pointed something out to you many times, and you just brush it off, like, I'm not ready to do anything about that. I'm not ready to give that up. And you make excuses. I mean, I've done it. The Spirit of God is grieved at that point. Or perhaps you haven't even thought about what you're doing. Maybe you haven't even ever thought about grieving the Spirit of God. But there's still things that you could be doing that grieve him. And we need to know what grieves him and what those things are so as not to do it. In Haggai chapter 1, starting at verse 3, we read, Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little, and when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon man, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. So this is talking to the children of Israel when the temple of the Lord was broken down and lying waste, and they were dwelling in finished houses. And he says, is it time for you to dwell in sealed houses when my house is lying waste? And everything that they did was falling apart. They were sowing much and bringing in little. They were eating, but they were not being filled. And when they made money, they brought it home and it just somehow disappeared. And God, and they're probably sitting there saying, what's wrong? Like, what is God doing? And he turns right back to them and says, consider your ways. You're letting my house lie waste and you're going about to build up your own houses. And he says, go to the mountain and bring wood and build my house and I will take pleasure in it. So perhaps you are just building your own life, just doing the things that you want to do. You're chasing your dreams and your ambitions and you're not putting God first. He's getting the leftovers of what you have. And that's not okay with him because he has to have it all. And perhaps he is grieved by the way you're living your life. And he says to us, consider your ways. And then in Malachi 3, verse 10, says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So they thought they didn't have enough. Therefore they weren't giving anything to God. But they got less and less. He says, bring the tithes into my house first and see if I don't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so big that you won't be able to receive it. I actually had an occasion to test this out this week because I had to go shopping for food for camp and I did not have all the money that I needed. And I was preparing this message and I was like, So I had some money that I set aside to give for God stuff. And I was like, you know, I really need this money for what I'm doing. But I knew it wouldn't be right for me to take it back. So I told him it wouldn't have been enough anyway. But I was like, I told God, I'm just going to trust you. I have no idea how you're going to supply this. I have no idea where it's going to come from. But I'm going to give you the tithes just like I would if I did not have this need. I was really stressed out about it. I'm ashamed to admit, but I really was. And when I went shopping, we did shopping in two different times, so I picked out what I needed for that time, and I knew I had just about enough to cover that day, but we still had like a whole bunch more to do the next day. And so we got up to the register, and of course we went shopping at Golden Harvest, so Nikki comes up to the register and starts checking me out and rang the bill through and gave me my receipt. And I was like, so I didn't have to pay for it. And indeed, I had way more than I could even use now. It was a good lesson for me. And God probably did it just because He wanted to see if I was going to pay attention. So sometimes we might feel like a tornado has swept through our lives, leaving nothing but destruction and death. And back in Haggai, God says, I blew on your stuff. Perhaps it was the mouth of God that blew on your life and scattered everything. And it was not meant to destroy you. It was not meant to hurt you. But if you are not paying attention to God, the blessings of having the things that you want would actually become a curse to you because it would drive you farther from Him. And sometimes there are things in our lives that we don't even know are wrong. But God can see it all. And in mercy, He shatters everything to bring us to the place where we will listen to Him and pay attention to what He's saying. And when that happens, when your life feels shattered and you can't even find all the pieces, much less put them back together, it is the human instinct to be angry about it and to become bitter about it. And if we can't find any person to be bitter at, we'll be bitter at God. But that's the totally wrong approach. Because as we read before, God says, consider your ways. The fault is not on God's end, it's on ours. So let your heart be soft and ask Him openly, humbly, outrightly, what are you trying to show me? Is there something I'm doing wrong? Is there something you're trying to tell me? And He's going to show you what it is. There was a couple years back where God definitely blew on my life. And it only takes one breath from His mouth to scatter your whole life. And there was probably at least 8-9 months where I was on my face just dying from the pain. And all throughout that time, I never thought more than half a second that it had anything to do with me. Like that I had done something wrong. I'm like, so-and-so did this, and if they hadn't done such and such a thing, like this wouldn't have happened. Well, when it hurt even too bad to bear it, I finally got low enough to say, maybe I did something wrong. Maybe there was something that God is trying to show me. Because for the whole time, I'd been thinking it was this other person's problem. Now, God was probably trying to show someone else something too, but when I actually got to that realization that maybe it was something to do with me, I asked Him, well, what did I do wrong? Maybe this was partly my fault. And He showed me, like, right away, well, things just started coming to my memory, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that really was wrong. I really shouldn't have done that. And it wasn't things that I knew were wrong at the time. It wasn't like I was deliberately sinning, but in our weakness, in our humanity, we do sin. So when God blows on your life and scatters everything, like blowing on a dandelion with all the little seeds on it, it's not to destroy you. He is trying to heal you. But he can't heal you if there's something wrong in your heart. Like Jenny was saying earlier, if you have a disease in your heart, you can't just go on like it's not there, because it will kill you. And sin is like a disease, and it will kill you faster than any earthly disease will. You can't be too hard on yourself if God does not show you something specifically. Don't beat yourself up. But ask him to show you sincerely. You have to be willing to change. If you're going to ask, what did I do wrong? Or is there something that you're trying to show me? You have to be willing to change in order to even ask him that. And if you're not willing to change, he's probably not going to show you what it is. Now, God loves you immensely, and the Holy Spirit will not leave you unless you reject Christ, but sin will hinder you, and it will make you unfruitful. In 1 Peter 3:7, we read, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Now, this is specifically talking to husbands, but if a man can live in such a way as to get his prayers hindered, it's pretty safe to assume that we can too. So it is a danger for all of us that there could be something in our lives that would hinder God from answering us or from giving us the things that we want. So we need to be extremely careful about the things that we're doing. Everyday life, things that we probably never even thought twice about, we should consider our ways, know what we're doing, know what pleases God in the first place, because if we don't know what pleases him, we can't really please him. A few months back, I had read a book on prayer, and he says in the book, if you come to pray, and it just doesn't seem like God is listening to you at all, and you just don't feel like you're getting through, you feel like you're just talking to the air, he said, ask God what is wrong. Ask God what's hindering. Well, I think he said ask the Holy Spirit, but it's the same thing. And there was one night where I felt like God is not listening. This is just not working. My prayers are not going any higher than right here. And I had just read that chapter of the book, and so I did. I asked, like, well, is there something wrong in me now that is grieving your spirit? And like a flash, you're afraid. And I said, yes, I am afraid. I'm worrying about it. I'm not trusting God with this. That grieves him. That hurts him, because he knows how much he loves us. He already gave the best thing he could possibly give us, and we're still afraid that he's not going to take care of us. That hurts him. The same way that it would hurt your best friend if you didn't believe that they cared about you. That would hurt their feelings. But we're made in the image of God, so it's pretty safe to assume that would hurt his feelings also. If we doubt that he's caring for us, if we doubt that he's going to take care of us, that will hurt him, that will grieve his spirit. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm in fear is an ongoing thing in my life. But as soon as I brought it, as soon as the Holy Spirit brought it to my attention and I said, I'm sorry, forgive me, like help me not to be afraid, the way was open. I could pray. I knew God heard me. So I'm challenging you guys to try it. So sin is not worth playing with. It's not worth making a stab in the dark at what might please God. We need to know for sure. And if we don't know for sure, we need to find out. And we're going to find out by reading the Bible. The Bible tells us what we need to know. So we need to make full surrender to God, 100%, not holding back anything, not keeping back any little dreams that we might have that might possibly conflict with God's schedule. We need to give it all and allow Him to be the Lord. It is not easy at all the time. Sometimes it hurts really bad. But I can assure you that if you do it, you will not regret it. And God said that if we seek Him, we will find Him. And He is what we're looking for. All that emptiness that we feel inside of our hearts, God can fill it. And He's the only thing that can fill it. So if we seek Him, we will find Him. Let us pray. Dear Father, I just pray that Your word would go home to the hearts of all of us here tonight. I pray that we would open our hearts to You, that we would not hold back anything from You, that we would not hold on to any sins, that we would understand and know that it's not worth it, and that we can give everything to You, and that You will take care of us. I just pray that You would bless each girl here, and pray that You would draw them closer to Yourself. Amen.